This time we will begin our readings. Our readings for today, if you want to look them up, are Isaiah 42, Psalm 29, Acts 10, and Matthew 3. We'll begin with the reading from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and the new things I now declare, before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Our next reading comes from Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory of God thunders. The Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all say, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Our third reading is from Acts chapter 10. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God has no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear. Not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people, and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson comes from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by John. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then Jesus consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So, this is going to be a little bit weird because I'm working from my computer. So, when I was thinking about our text for today, I kept thinking about identity. Questions like, who am I, who are we, and who is Jesus? These questions kept coming into my mind as I read about the baptism of our Lord. And so, inevitably, when thinking about these three questions, thinking about identity, a particular song by the Steve Miller Band also came to my mind. You might remember it. It's a ballad of differing identities and goes something like, Some people call me the space cowboy, some call me the gangster of love, some people call me Maurice. It's got the I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner, and so on. You guys know the song I'm thinking of, right? I loved this song when I was younger. Now, when I think of identity, I don't mean the labels we create for ourselves that separate us from each other. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the ways in which we understand who we are. Our personalities, our relationships, our interests, our hobbies, our hopes and dreams, even our vocation, our calling, in our careers, and in all of our lives, all of these things make up our identity. And for the Steve Miller Band, these identities were made up of names. Names we might find to help us describe our identity, and names that others might give to us. And honestly, when I was younger, The Joker was one of those songs that deeply spoke to me in my struggle with identity. I would sing it loud at night in my room and to the much chagrin of my family members. But I was constantly battling with this question, who am I? And the Steve Miller Band somehow encapsulated my feelings of being unsure. I was unsure of my identity. Back then, I would have described myself as a friend, as an atheist, as a seeker, as someone struggling with depression, and all around as someone who wasn't sure about my future or about myself. Most of my relationships felt broken or dependent on certain behavior. I spent a lot of time feeling alone. I struggled to name hopes and dreams for myself, and I had no idea what I might be when I grew up. Most of the things that help us find identity were lost to me. And one of the pieces of identity, one of the ways we understand ourselves to be ourselves, is through affirmation. So my difficult life experiences hindered me in many ways from piecing together my identity. I struggled to find affirmation of self. This affirmation, this endorsement of our identities, can come in different forms. It might be through our own feelings of fulfillment, of excitement, or joy. It might be from the outside, from people who encourage us, who value us. And this affirmation might be from God, from the one who created us. And it's when we find this affirmation in identity that we live and thrive, and we can participate. My own self-affirmation has come and gone over the years. I found relationships with others that brought me joy, beginning to piece into an identity, a close friend, a counselor, a student, a wife. These relationships helped me to find new ways to express myself, whether that be with the liturgical hair, my tattoos, or just laughter. As my identity began to come together from its broken pieces, I started to find my own fulfillment in this person I was and was becoming. For the Apostle Peter in our text from Acts, he was just finishing his experiences of the Gentile world, and this newness was changing him. Our text from Acts comes just after Peter's dream about the clean and unclean food, after he has been chastised by others for eating with non-Jewish people. And Peter is proclaiming to Cornelius Peter's own newfound conversion, not just to faith in Jesus, but to his identity. Peter is affirming his identity as Christian and Jewish, and affirming his identity as one of the many who give witness to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. In answering the question, "Who am I?" Peter also answers the question, "Who is Jesus?" This text from Acts is Peter's testimony of who he is and who Jesus is to him. This is Peter's self-affirmation of identity, and he shares it with Cornelius and with us. For Peter, his identity is a Jew. He is a Christian, he is a preacher, he is a teacher, and he is a witness. I was lucky. I had always had people in my life who were working to encourage me, and as time went on, I was finally able to begin to hear those words of affirmation from others. Together with the fulfillment we find in self-affirmation, encouragement from those around us helps us to shape this understanding of who we are. More of myself began to form. My appearance, my personality, I started to see an identity of joy and hope in myself through the eyes of others. For Jesus, when he comes to the River Jordan to be baptized, he is coming to affirm his identity, to affirm God's will for him to fulfill all righteousness in his affirmation of self. And upon arriving at the river, John the Baptist meets him and affirms who he is. John tries to answer the question, "Who is Jesus?" John tells Jesus, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" And in this short sentence, John tells Jesus and us who it is that is standing in front of him. In this question, John gives his outside affirmation to Jesus' identity, the teacher, the anointed, the chosen one. And it's when our identity and our faith intertwine that the third affirmation we receive comes to us. For me, it was in a moment where, for the first time in I don't know how long, I didn't feel alone. In all my struggling and hurt, somehow I felt God with me. And this conversion, this hope, this spirit guided and guides me in answering the question, "Who am I?" This is the affirmation of identity that calls me a child of God, a person of faith, a preacher, a teacher, a witness, and a participant. Because that moment in our text from Matthew when Jesus had been baptized, and just as he came out from the water, it's in this moment that God affirms Jesus' commitment to God's hope for the world. This is the moment where Jesus' identity is affirmed by God. This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And Peter, in our text from Acts, reminds us that it is in this moment when the Spirit of God descends like a dove upon Jesus, that Jesus is given the power of God, that he is anointed, that Jesus is the bringer of forgiveness for the world. In this moment, in the baptism of our Lord, Jesus' identity is affirmed. The Son of God, the Beloved, the Anointed, the Messiah, the Savior. And like Jesus, it's when we find this affirmation in identity that we live, that we thrive, that we participate. For Jesus, his baptism is the beginning of the message of God's will for the world, the message of peace and forgiveness. For us, we might find our identities as individuals affirmed in remembering that God is pleased with us as well, that we are children of God, and we can rejoice when we find ourselves, when we find our callings in this world, when we can begin to answer this question, "Who am I?" But these affirmations of identity are not just for us as individuals. They're for us as Christians as well, for us as the church. There is still yet another question. who are we? The prophet Isaiah speaks of God's servant, of the chosen, the anointed, and it seems obvious that in the first part of our Isaiah text, he is speaking of Jesus. But then Isaiah moves on, quoting God, and says that God tells Israel, tells us, that God has called you in righteousness. God has taken you by the hand and kept you. God has given you as a covenant to the people, as a promise to the people, to be a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners. This is God's affirmation of our identity as Christians, as the church, as the body of Christ. That part of our identity is an identity of mission, of calling, that we are blessed to be a blessing. We are promised to the world to be bringers of peace, of light, of open eyes, and of justice. And it's in this affirmation, when we receive it from God, we find our own fulfillment. Part of these conversations around renewal that we've been doing in our own church is trying to understand the promise that we are to our community. Because when we remember who we are as a church, when we remember who God is calling us to be and what God is sending us to do, when we affirm this identity, we can experience renewal, growth, and joy. We experience living and thriving and participating in God's will in the world. Who are we? We are participants in God's promise. We are God's covenant to the people. We are witnesses. When Peter tells us that we are witnesses to all that Jesus did, we are answering the question, who is Jesus? And it's not just witnessing a 2,000-year-old story. Yes, we are witnesses to the birth and life of Jesus, to his healing, his preaching, his mercy, and his love. Yes, we are witnesses to his death on the cross, to his suffering, his offering, and his surrender. And we are witnesses to his resurrection, to his victory over sin and death, to his work of forgiveness for us and for all. And we are witnesses to Jesus in our lives today, to God's continuing work of peace through Jesus with the Holy Spirit and through us, through our identities as Christians, as people of God, as light to the world, so that we can put together the pieces of our identities as individuals through self-affirmation, affirmation from others, and God's affirmation. So that today, as we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, we can hear the list of names given by the Steve Miller Band and start to think of our own selves, our own identities, and we might find answers to our own questions that this text brings up. Who am I? I am a child of God, a seeker of peace and justice, a witness to God's work in my life. Who are we? We are Christians, the church, the body of Christ, God's promise to the people, witnesses of incredible love and mercy that we have received through Jesus. And who is Jesus? God's anointed, God's chosen, God's beloved Son, our Savior and Messiah, our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.